time to feel the rush of the Round Table, live on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Roundtable for Burke Financial, offering homeowners personalized mortgage solutions. For approvals in as little as an hour and fast funding, visit burkefinancial.ca, brokerage license number 13111. Joining us, former Liberal MP, senior advisor at Queen's University, and author, Selena Caesar-Chavon. Hello.
Hi there. Can I just say I laughed so hard at Richard's interview? It was hilarious.
Yeah, he's great.
Thank you.
So good.
Great. Great segment.
We'd give him more airtime if we weren't so jealous. Former crime reporter, now with Pickup Communications as well. Had the pleasure of hanging out with her last Friday. Welcome back to Mayor Cherry.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let's start off with the big news stateside. We found out the United States is set to reopen its borders to fully vaccinated Canadians starting November 8th. That's a good thing. Great news. Non-essential travelers who are crossing via land border, so in the car, you'll have to show proof of vaccination. You won't have to show a negative COVID-19 test. Now, on the way back, not so fast, if you're coming into Canada, you're still going to have that negative PCR test. There are a couple of things at play here, Selena. We'll start with you. One, the cost of it. Two, the Americans have decided they don't need their visitors having a test. And three, the time. Because if you're going down to the United States, you have to wait for these test results, and they don't come just automatically. So is it about time the Canadian government did a rethink and fell more in line with what the Americans are doing?
So absolutely. But I think the Americans actually understand that Canadians get it and Americans don't. So if we go to America and we shop around, they're actually worried that we might get COVID and go back because there's like these anti-mask things that are happening there. So I think while we could probably rethink it here on how we do that, I don't think that that's necessarily the main crux of the issue. We know that even with a vaccination, you could still get COVID. We want to make sure that our borders are protected. We want to make sure that people coming into Canada are protected. And so, you know, whether or not the Canadians do follow, which I doubt they will, it gives us extra peace of mind that anybody coming back from the United States doing whatever they were doing actually has a negative test.
Yeah, Tamara, I'm just not convinced. I think it's cost prohibitive for a lot of people going over. It's time prohibitive for a lot of people going over. I just think, you know, if the Americans are saying, listen, it's our border, we've kept it closed for this long, we're reopening it with no test necessary, hey, we're all fully vaccinated. We're talking about 0.2% of vaccinated people that have tested positive that have come across that border.
This is not about Canada needing to follow the US's lead. This is about Canada recognizing how completely absurd it is that you can go cross-border shopping for a day. Before you go, you can get your PCR test for $200 or $300 in Toronto, go do your shopping, and then on the way back, show the test you got before you even left the country. What does that accomplish? It is completely absurd. If somebody has done the right thing, stepped up, gotten their two doses of the vaccine, they are right off the hop at a decreased risk of transmitting this virus. So first of all, what good really in the grand scheme of things is it doing by making these people pay this money, which might not sound like a lot of money to some people, especially if they're traveling across the border by themselves, but to a hell of a lot of people, that is a lot of money. Especially when you start talking about a family of two or three or four or five people that want to drive across the border, perhaps from Windsor to Detroit to visit some family members, suddenly that trip is out of the question for them. And they're being banned from doing it because they can't afford to do so. I think this is the most absurd policy. If you're fully vaccinated, I don't see any reason for having to have these PCR tests. We have a lot more to worry about with the people who are on our side of the border who are not vaccinated and spreading this virus.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
I should have gone after Tamara because that was actually a really good answer.
You know what? It bugs me because my husband just went to Brazil.
Right.
And last month sometime recently. And he had to get a PCR test to go to Brazil. He also had to show that he was fully vaccinated. And then he had to get a PCR test to come back. The cost of the flight to Brazil alone is so much right now, and it isn't even as much as high as I think it will go, that it is cost prohibitive for our whole family, even if we are fully vaccinated, all five of us in the coming months, to go down there and visit his mother. Adding on the cost of all of us getting PCR tested on the way there and on the way back, it's out of the question. And we're a very privileged family with two working parents who make good salaries. So you think about all the people, the many, many people that don't have that money, and they've done the right thing. They've stepped up. Meanwhile, we're handing out free rapid tests to so many people who are not getting vaccinated and staying on our side of the border. It just doesn't make any sense. It's punishing the wrong people.
Okay, the Ford government having a rather lengthy press conference, started at around 11:30 this morning, went for over an hour. Ostensibly, the press conference called to talk about QR codes, your ability to get them on your smartphone, but really the conversation, you know, quickly became about Ford asking hospital administrators for some input on the possibility of potential vaccine mandates. Here's how he teed it up.
My point is, it's easy to go out there and say, you know, fire everyone. That's an easy solution. People have to look at the ramifications down the road. Where are we going to be in 2 or 3 months when they're short tens of thousands of people? Nurses and docs are stretched and maxed out to the limit right now. And all I'm saying is, what are the ramifications in your hospital? We sent it out to every single CEO of every single hospital. And of course, Ontario is a massive area. It's different in the far north compared to southwestern Ontario and out east and downtown Toronto. But everyone has their challenges. And I can tell you one challenge, we're short healthcare workers.
Now, Selena, it's interesting that, you know, the Ford government is soliciting input because it kind of feels like they already know what they want to hear from you.
It kind of does. But that actually sounded like an adult way to sort of frame this request. And I don't mean that to be demeaning in any way, shape, or form, but he is right. There is differences across the country. Across the province from the north to being in Toronto, and soliciting input from the CEOs of the hospitals is a good start. However, at some point, we need to understand that if individuals who are within those healthcare facilities are not vaccinated and, you know, have to, like Tamara said earlier, we have to pick up the cost of these rapid tests every single time. Who picks up the cost? And more importantly than that, do we monitor them as they're going about their day-to-day business? Again, bringing COVID into an institution where you're supposed to be, you know, sort of preventing or helping people from being sick is counterintuitive. So this is one where I'm really hoping that somebody just makes a decision about this and decides that we're going to preserve and save Ontarians and Canadians writ large over sort of wishy-washy policy.
So Tamara, when we look at the fact that, you know, these are people that haven't been vaccinated right up until this point, we haven't seen a lot of outbreaks, and hopefully 6 months from now, the numbers will be even lower, the positivity rates will be, you know, basically nothing, hopefully. Is this a problem that if we don't do anything and we just let these people do their jobs unvaccinated, that will eventually solve itself, or are you not willing to let that happen?
Oh, well, I don't have the power. It's not up to me, Jay, if only. But okay, so a couple of things here. First off, I heard a nurse on your show about a half an hour ago talking about when these nurses were hired, they had to show proof of all the different vaccines, okay? So this is like saying, by saying nurses now don't need to receive this, what I would say is an essential vaccine to keep the public safe, their clients safe, this is like saying that a teacher needs to show a clean criminal record before being hired. But once you've got the job, you're allowed to commit whatever crime you want and be convicted of any crime you want, and you'll be able to keep your job. So I'm obviously of the view that these nurses all need to get vaccinated. That said, I agree with Selena that the messaging that Doug Ford had today did make a lot of sense. I would love for them to start out by saying, you know, they do this in policing a lot of times, if somebody's disciplined, where they're taken away from a public facing role, or they're put behind the front desk or something, put them in a role, say from home, where they can do contact tracing and get somebody else into the public facing. But I mean, you know what I'd really love, and I'm just thinking out loud here, given what our last topic was, I would love to see some numbers on the likelihood of somebody spreading the virus after having daily rapid tests, which are much more faulty than the PCR test. Versus somebody who's fully vaccinated and not getting a PCR test and spreading the virus. Because I would bet you that those unvaccinated nurses are more likely to spread the virus than somebody who's fully vaccinated and not getting a PCR test. Just saying.
All right, I'm going to end very quickly on this one. We got a lot of reaction to it today. Scientists, after going over a ton of information, warn there are almost 50 harmful effects linked to the use of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Nobody was off limits here, Selena, but yet we still do it. And I asked earlier, why do people use something that they know is so bad for them? And, you know, smoking in that comparison came up many times.
Yeah, so honestly, so I think most people know that I live with major depression and anxiety. And over the last few months, anybody who follows me on Twitter in particular knows that I'm not tweeting as much. I've made a conscious decision. I think the election had things to play, had an input in that as well, but I've just decided to remove myself on it. We need to sort of control how we as individuals, what we consume, not just the food we consume, but the media we consume. And if this, I don't think anybody needed to read a news report to know that this was the case. And I hope that people heed the advice. If they know that the consuming of this information is bad for them, don't do it, because it could take you in a very dark place.
Tamara, a last word in 20 seconds.
My husband and I both deleted our Facebook accounts at the same time a few years ago, and it was the best thing that we could do, because we realized, why do we care about what people we went to high school with are doing 20 years later when we haven't spoken to them since? That said, I'm on social media now, Facebook, Instagram, in a very limited basis, totally professional capacity, and I love Twitter because that's where I get a lot of my news. But I worry about this a lot for my kids, and I don't want them to have anything to do with social media. We're luckily still a few years away, and I'm hoping that everything gets figured out before
Tamara,
that time comes.
Selena, have a great weekend. We appreciate you taking the time today.
Thank you both.
Great weekend.